Oh, I'm telling you, I'm thankful to know the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful to know the Lord. Ain't nothing else like it. Nothing else in the whole world like it. And it's the best way to live, and it's the only way to die. Amen. Amen. Being a child of God, being an old-time Christian, it is the best way to live, and it's the only way to die. And I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. Thankful for the good Lord and all His blessings on me. I want us to read in the book of Isaiah, if you will turn with me, please. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Brother Mills got a little bit ahead of me last week. He shared with you this verse of Scripture. Of course, I smiled sitting on the pew knowing what I was working on. And I appreciate the good message last week. I was on my way to up 75 several times this week to camp meeting and things, and I'd two or three times hit that, you know, that awful sounding on the side of the road, and every time I did, I thought, I'm drifting, that's what it is. And I'm grateful for the message last week. And I don't want to drift away from the Lord. I want to stay near unto His side. And nearness with the Lord is the only way to walk with Him. You cannot walk and follow along successfully at a distance. You'll have to walk near unto the Lord. And I pray that the Lord would make the message real in your heart today from Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll begin reading in verse number 28. If you found your place and are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us. And we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Pray for us that God would help us and use us for His honor and glory this morning. Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning reading in verse 28. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The Lord will help us this morning. I want to try to preach on walking in patience with the Lord. Walking in patience with the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. This may very well, as best I know now, which again, I'll try to seek the face of the Lord. I want to be obedient unto Him, sensitive to His will and His desire. But as far as I know right now, this may very well be the last of this series of sermons, or if you will, extended sermon, installments of the same message on walking with the Lord. This may well be the end of it. So I do want to begin this morning with a brief recap of some of what we have talked about in these 21 past weeks, and then this will be the 22nd sermon or installment in this sermon. We began by talking about how Adam walked with the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. Joseph walked in integrity with the Lord. Enoch walked in consistency with the Lord. Noah walked in loneliness with the Lord. And if it's just you and the Lord, it's still worth it to walk with Him. If nobody else goes with you, if mom and dad do not go, if husband or wife do not go, son or daughter do not go, it's worthwhile for you to walk if all alone with the Lord. Abraham walked in faith with the Lord. Moses walked in impossibilities with the Lord. David walked in worship with the Lord. He was that psalmist of praise, the psalmist of worship, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Job walked in confusion with the Lord. That is not to say if you walk with the Lord, you'll be confused, but if you are to walk with the Lord, you'll have to walk with Him through days of confusion. Everything will not always be clear in your life. And some things you may not understand until you get to heaven but walk with God through the most confusing days. I got news for you. Those that don't know the Lord have days of confusion as well. A whole lot of them, matter of fact. And their confusion will never be cleared up in eternity. Much of their confusion will continue into eternity, into fire and brimstone. But the Lord will help us to understand it better by and by. Jeremiah walked in the old paths with the Lord and encouraged us to do the same. The Hebrew boys walked in the fire with the Lord. Daniel walked in testimony with the Lord. John the Baptist walked in expectancy. And John the Beloved walked in endurance with the Lord. Peter walked in love with the Lord. As the Lord asked him, "Peter, do you love me? Then go and feed my sheep." Now, Paul walked in the Spirit with the Lord and told us that there is now therefore no condemnation to those who walk not in the carnal mind, but in the Spirit. And he told us if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Jairus' daughter, we talked about her, how she walked in new life with the Lord. One born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. Two disciples walked in sadness with the Lord. Those two on the road to Emmaus. And their sadness was turned to holy heartburn when Jesus showed up. The lame man walked in the name of Jesus with the Lord, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. And I thank God for that. I like to see people do that. I enjoy it. I like to get in the middle of it. I don't just like to sit on the sidelines while somebody else is walking and leaping and praising the Lord. I want to get right in there with them. Amen. And I appreciate what Brother Gene Mathias said one time. Said a lady come by the door and asked him, said, "Now, Brother Gene, did the Lord tell you you had to shout this morning?" He said, "No, ma'am. This morning I just volunteered." Amen. I praise the Lord for the opportunity and privilege to worship Him and to praise Him. We preached about walking like Jesus with the Lord. That is, walking as He walked. And then last week we talked about walking in the truth with the Lord, and you can, and you must. In Him there is no lie. God is true. He's absolutely true. He's totally true, completely true. There is no shadow of turning with Him. Everything is true. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Everything with God is true. And if you're going to walk with the Lord, you'll have to walk in the truth. There is no walking or running with the world and walking with the Lord. We've talked about how the Lord, if you walk with Him, He does not walk with you. You must walk with Him. He determines the direction. He determines the diction. He determines the duration of your walk. He determines the destination of your walk. If you're going to walk with the Lord, He is the one that sets the pace and the course. And it's us walking with Him. He will not walk with us. The Lord is not going to walk our path. We will have to walk His path. Amen. And two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Now in our text this morning in Isaiah chapter 40, we see an example of walking in patience with the Lord. I want you to notice in these little verses three things by way of introduction this morning. Notice the length of the walk. And it is significant. The theme of these verses is weariness, exhaustion, fainting, and giving out. Your walk with God is not a 40-yard dash. We are not in an afternoon exercise. Discipleship is not about the moment, but about the long haul. And I, for one, want to finish well. I want to serve the Lord all the days of my life. And I want to finish this thing, and I feel want to finish well. I don't want to burn out at the end of the journey. I don't want to give out after having served Him these years. I want to finish my course. The Apostle Paul said when he came to the end of the way, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I pray that God would help me to be able to say those things one of these days. I pray that the Lord would help me to be able to say right and truthfully, as the Apostle Paul did when he left from Miletus the last time, and he said, "I'll see your face no more." He said, "But remember how I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. I gave it my best. I gave it my all. The Apostle Paul, whenever he said, I fought a good fight, he didn't say, I've won every fight. He didn't say every scrimmage, every time that the blows were cast, that I won every round. No, he just said, I fought a good fight. I've taken some beatings, and I've taken some punches and some jabs, but I've stayed in the battle, and I've stayed on my feet, and I've stayed in the fight. And may the Lord help us to do just that, to finish well. A lifetime of living for God is not too long, and eternal rewards will be very much worth our diligent and faithful service. Amen. The length of the walk. Then notice the loss of the weary. Verse number 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young ones shall utterly fall. Elder and younger, male and female, may succumb to the pressures of this world, the stress that Satan inflicts upon us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You will face persecution and tribulation in this world, but you do not have to become a casualty of the satanic attack. Jesus said, a tribulation in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The loss of the weary. If you've been living for God for any amount of time at all, you have seen those who at one point served the Lord. You've seen those at one point preach sermons or sung songs or offered testimonies or attended church. You've seen those who shook the preacher's hand, who, my friend, named the name of Christ, who, my friend, volunteered for service for the Lord. And today they are somewhere by the wayside. Today their lives are shipwrecked. You have seen those who at one time had, my friend, an exemplary life and an exemplary family and a family of service, and their children walked with the Lord. And today you've seen them turn aside, and you've seen them go off backwards. You've seen them regress as a backsliding heifer would backslide, as he said in the Old Testament. You have seen those things come to pass. And I'm going to tell you, you and I are not exempt from that sort of foolish behavior. We're not exempt from doing wrong. We're not above the fray. We are not unassailable and untouchable. It does not matter how strong you think you are, how mighty you think you are, how capable, how holy, my friend, or pious that you think you are. You are not above this saying. Even the youth, even the young men, even the strong men, even those that seem like they have it all together, he says, they'll fail, they'll become exhausted, they'll get weary, and they'll fall. Your only hope is not how strong you are. Your only hope is not how capable you are. Your only hope is not how holy you are. Your only hope is not how good you are. Your only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason why any of us will ever make it to the end of this journey and finish well is by the help and grace of the Lord. They asked the Apostle Paul about his trip, his journey, his experience, and he said, by the grace of God, I have continued until this day. And so we'll all say it that way if we're honest. I will not make it by our own goodness, but by His grace. I started in Jesus, and I'm going through. And the only way you're going to go through is in Jesus, in His might, in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. I think I heard somebody else quote that already this morning. But I'm telling you, there is a great God in heaven, and you can lean on Him and trust in Him, and you can be patient. He'll come through for you. Amen. The length of the walk, the loss of the weary. I weep over those that have decided to go another way. It troubles me to see preachers I used to preach with and for, who some of them are still in some semblance of ministry work today, but they've got strobe lights and smoke machines, and they need to ride a horse or motorcycle or whatever else around a crowd. One of them the other day was having an outdoor concert of some kind. They're calling it a revival and having an outdoor concert. And I'd bring it in tractor trailer trucks, flatbed trailers, you know, on them, and putting the equipment and so forth on the back of them things, bringing in horse troughs to have baptizing for those who'd volunteer to. And they got a cotton candy stand and, you know, vendors out there to sell hand-dipped hot dogs and corn dogs and so forth. And they're calling that a revival. Sound more like the county fair. And my friend, the music is more like what you'd have heard at Woodstock than what you'd hear if you're in the will of God. The atmosphere is not a revival, it's carnality. And they're claiming to do it in the name of Jesus, claiming to do it for Jesus' sake. But they have already drifted. They're not just drifting, they done drifted. Amen. And it's sad to see what's happened to some and what some have done and chosen and the route that they have gone. But I'm telling you, thank God, you do not have to join those ranks. You can make it. You can make it. You can stand. You can walk. You can serve. You can stand. You can hold out. You can thrive. And you can serve the Lord. And you can finish this race and finish it well. Amen. I pray whenever it is that I leave this walk of life, that I leave it still preaching the same gospel, still believing the same scripture, still having the same Bible. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Listen, Brother Toby not only preaches out of the King James, that is what I have in my home, that's what I have in my office, that's what I've got on my devices. My friend, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm still a King James man. That's exactly right. I'm still listening to old time and music. I'm still singing the old songs of Zion. Hallelujah! That's right. Bless his name. I still believe in hellfire and brimstone preaching. Amen, friend. I still believe in crying aloud, spare not. And the reason I believe it's not because somebody else said it, but because this Bible tells me about it. Amen. That's exactly right. It not only matters what we do, it matters where we do it, and it matters how we do it. I still believe that a man's got to be qualified to be in the ministry, and I still believe he's got to be a man. Amen. To be in the ministry. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. I still believe that God's people ought to be a righteous people and a holy people and a separated people and a clean living people and a loving people and a caring people and a witnessing people and a giving people. Amen. And I still know for a fact, because I'm living it, that God's people are a happy people, that God's people are a blessed people, and that God's people, my friend, are a field of people. Hallelujah. And my friend, others may choose another path. Oh, praise the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, there is blessings. There is blessings in serving the Lord. The length of the walk, the loss of the weary. And then there is the Lord of the waiting. In verses 28 and 29, he says he gives power to them that are faint and to them that have no might. He increases their strength. Even he says, the youth shall fall and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is the Lord of the waiting. Oh, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Oh, there is no searching of all his understanding. God's not up in heaven bewildered by what's going on down here. He's not up in heaven saying, y'all leave me alone a while, I need a nap. My friend, he's not up in heaven wearied with you and with me. My friend, he's not tired of us, sick of us, worn out on us, but he's still calling, saying, come unto me, all you that labor or heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's the Lord of the weary. Praise God. He's the one we run to. He's my rock and my high tower, my fortress. He's that one that I run to that is higher than I. Oh, praise the Lord. He's my oasis in the desert. He's a rock in a weary land and a shelter in the time of storm. He's my shepherd in my deepest valley. And what would I do without Jesus? He's a shepherd of my valley.
Somebody, I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? The patient man has a help. He has a resource, a stable force that doesn't wear out. He does not grow weary. If you've traveled in this sojourn in your own strength, you'll surely faint. But if you walk in patience with the Lord, you can finish well. Just walk with Him. Let the Lord of the waiting work in your life. The Lord of the waiting. Walking in patience with the Lord. I want you to notice three little bitty things this morning. Just three little bitty simple things in this passage of Scripture, and I'll be finished preaching. Notice the power. The power. The patience and the process. The power, the patience, and the process. Just three little bitty things, this little bitty message this morning. And I might give you a few little bitty things about them little bitty things before we get done. The power, the patience, and the process. Notice the power that we have in verse 29. He giveth power to them that are faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth the strength. I want you to know this morning, there is strength in the Lord. There's strength in the Lord. When life's burdens overtake us, rest we cannot afford. When all others forsake us, there is strength in the Lord. Though foe may assail us, and our path may be hard, Jesus will never fail us. There is strength in the Lord. Death brings heartache and sorrow. Partings rend us like a sword. Though we dread the tomorrow, there is strength in the Lord. There is strength beyond measure in God's comforting word. Seek His storehouse of treasure. There is strength in the Lord. Oh, He giveth power to them that are faint. Notice there is power in this verse for the weary. Those who are here called faint. He giveth power to them that are faint. This word faint means to be exhausted, to be fatigued, to be worn out physically, emotionally, or spiritually. It gives the picture, the underlying root word, gives the picture of a fighter or competitor who has valiantly stood for a time, but he's run out of energy. You have fought the battle well in the past, but your hands hang low. Your knees are feeble. Your mind is burned out. Our adversary will tell you that you can't make it another step. Because of this, he screams at you and says, "You're done." Oh, but we wait patiently and press on in the strength of the Lord. My friend waiting to hear the Lord say, "Well done." Amen. Yes. Satan says, "You're done." But we're not done until he says, "Well done." And there will come a day when he will, if we'll not become weary. And well-doing will reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. There is power for the weary. There is power for the weak. He says, for those that are faint, and then also to those that have no might, he increases strength. Those who have no might, it's not that they have fought through unto exhaustion, but these are the ones who are immature and incomplete. In a natural sense, it's a man who has no strength built up. He has no might. He's like an infant who is just beginning to develop. In a metaphorical sense, it tells of one who is insignificant or small, possibly poor, of low degree. Maybe he's a new believer. Maybe he's just now gotten into the family of God, and he's trying to find his way along and does not have his balance and doesn't have his strength, has not developed any muscles in the Lord. I'm telling you, God is a power for the powerless. A new believer toddling around, trying to get your footing, trying to get established with the Lord. There is a God who is powerful, and He'll hold you up. Hallelujah. He'll strengthen you and help you and cause you to stand. Hebrews 12 and 12 said, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." I'm telling you, there is power for the weary. There is power for the weak. Amen. You've been saved 2 weeks. There's a power in heaven that'll help you sustain, be sustained in this ungodly generation you're facing and in all the troubles that you face. You've been saved for 40, 50 years fighting the good fight, maybe even longer than that, and it seems like you're weary and you're tired, and you, my friend, are pulling a heavy burden. Know your help is still in the Lord. There is power for the weak and for the weary. Amen. There is power, there is strength in the Lord. The power. Then secondly, this morning, I want you to see the patience in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is a privileged group of persons pointed out in this passage. I don't know, say that about 10 times fast and see if you don't get tongue-tied. There is a privileged group of persons pointed out in this passage. I didn't even notice how much of a tongue twister or lip twister that was whenever I was studying yesterday. But I'm glad to be in that privileged group of persons. Those who wait on the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I'll say that. I do know about you. You're probably in the same shape as what I am. Some of you is even worse. And some of you are better than the rest of us, but you're still in bad shape about this thing. Have they that wait upon the Lord. I don't know about you altogether, but I don't like to wait. I do not like to wait. I am not altogether impulsive. I really don't act on impulse that much, but I still don't like waiting. If I'm waiting, I feel like somebody else should have had a plan, and didn't have a plan, or was not executing the plan, and I don't like having to wait. Matter of fact, I'm only willing to wait when it is necessary, or if I truly believe that it's worth it. Amen. I'm willing only to wait when it's necessary, when I have no other choice, or if I really believe it is worth it. We were up in the Pigeon Forge a couple of days around Thanksgiving, and Sonia had the glorious idea that on Friday morning, what we needed to do was get up Friday morning and go down to the outlet mall on Friday morning. And I really thought, you know, as much room as what they have around there, it might be kind of crowded, you know, but if that's what she wants to do, I don't care. Grandbaby's going to be there. Me and Ella can play. Let them shop. It'll be all right with me. I don't care if the two of us, all we do is walk around with her on my shoulders, hitting on top of my head and singing and playing and laughing. I like that. That's fun to me. And so I was willing to do it. But when we pulled over that direction, I saw that there was a couple of parking lots. What they were already full of people, Sonia said. I didn't know they served breakfast at the Outback Steakhouse. I said, I guess that's just something that happens in tourist towns. I figured out that was not breakfast they were serving. It was parking they were serving. All the parking at the mall had done been filled up. And now they were filling up all the adjoining neighboring properties. Every property that was not roped off was filled up. Pastures were filled up. The curbs were filled up. People parking on the sidewalks. You could not get in there. And then when you got in there, you could not get out. And you could not park. And everybody was in such a thankful mood that they were blowing their horns and shaking their fists at one another. Friend, listen, I told my son-in-law, I said, I don't know what they got in them buildings, but whatever it is, it ain't worth this. It took us over an hour to make a circle and get out of there and make a ride, and they sent us right back in the thing. As soon as what we got in there got stuck again, then somebody saw a parking space come loose and decided to back over top of me to get it, and I blew my horn about 30 times and they kept on coming, but there's no place to go. There's 8 cars behind me, all doing the same thing. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I will only do that mess when it is absolutely necessary, or if I really believe it is worth it. I want to tell you about something about waiting on the Lord. Number one, it is necessary. It is necessary. You just got to do it. The Lord doesn't operate on your time or my time. It's just necessary. But I want to tell you something else. It is really worth it. It's worth it to wait on the Lord. In this verse of Scripture, when he tells us about the patience, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is, first of all, a readiness here. In this wait, they that wait is more than just hanging around. It's staying with a sense of expectation. Staying with a sense of expectation. It is an earnest hope. It is being ready, looking for, and expecting God to do something. It's having enough confidence that you wait for, that to linger when others leave. You wait to linger when others leave. A wait comes from a root word meaning to bind together, perhaps by twisting. To bind together, perhaps by twisting. That is to be attached, to be tied up, to be wrapped up so much in a thing that you refuse to give up. You know what you need to do with the Lord? You need to get firmly fixed to Him, wrapped up in Him, tied up, twisted up in Him so much that you just refuse to give up, or to let up, or to quit. Amen. It is to stick Him there looking for a specific outcome. That's why He told us in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The Spirit truly is ready. That is, it's waiting, it's anticipating, it's believing. It is faithful. The Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'm telling you, this waiting is readiness. It's not just sitting around, but it is staying still with a sense of expectation. You're here, but you're here looking for God to do something. You're here, but you're looking for Jesus to come. You're here, but you're here looking for the Lord to show up in your life. You're here, but not just here doing nothing. You're here occupied until Jesus comes. Yes. They that wait, they that are ready. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The patience that involves readiness. And then in this verse, the patience involves renewal. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. It's a renewal of strength that you see they've been failing and fainting and falling. But my friend, if they don't give up, God promises to show up. I want to say that again. If you don't give up, God promises to show up. Amen. Oh, and He will. When He shows up, He'll show out. He's not weary. He's not failing and fainting and falling. He's not weary. He'll refresh your walk. This renew literally means to pass on by. This renew is the likeness of how that is specifically applied to a seed that is put into the ground. How that though it is in the dirt and it's surrounded by dirt, how when life is given to it, it passes the dirt by and shoots up off into the skies, reaches for the sun. That makes me think about Lisa on Green Acres telling about the little seeds shooting off into the sky. And that's what it is for us. It's springing up. And you realize that this renewal literally means to shoot on by or to pass on by or to spring on up. And the seed just looks at the dirt beside it and says, you're not going to hold me down. This may be my root, but it is not my end. This is not a grave. I'm going to sprout up from here. I'm going to bloom where I am planted. Oh, those of us who trust in God and feel like they're falling and fainting, and to my friend, they're failing, and my friend, the Lord comes through, and we're going to spring up. Amen. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He gives power. Oh, He gives power, and He gives patience unto us. You'll wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Please allow me to give a carnal illustration, and I know where I'm preaching, which means that all of you will understand. Amen. Y'all ain't no better off what I am. Sister Angel and Brother Matthew's granddaddy, grandmother, I'd go see them, and they were like my grandparents. They liked to watch wrestling. And he liked them Armstrong boys. That was his favorite ones, I think. He liked them. He liked Dusty Rhodes. The American Dream.
Yeah.
And them Armstrong boys, he always had the sniffles. He had the sniffles every time I ever saw him. He always had the sniffles. And, of course, I understand. I can relate. I've always got sniffles, too. And he'd sniffle and point his finger and tell you. He'd say, now, I'll tell you. Said, if they had two of them effaries out there, they wouldn't have so much trouble as what they have. And they said they need one of them to watch while the other's got his back turned. But, of course, they never had two effaries out there. He'd say, I'll tell you, if them old Armstrong boys, if they can muster up enough strength, I think they can come back on this. And, of course, what happened, your hero would have to take him blow after blow. He's been body slammed. He's had the bionic elbow put on his head. He's been thrown off the top rope. He's been punched in the solar plexus. I mean, those of you who ever listened to the Gordon Solie call match, you'll know what I'm talking about. I mean, he's had the figure four put on him. I've been put in the lion tamer and the scorpion deathlock. All the things been done to him, you think he'd been dead a long time ago. And he just about can't make it. I mean, he's crawling around and watering about. And back in the day, probably bleeding all over the place. And my friend, just a mess. You think for sure he won't make it. But somehow or another, he begins to show sign of life. Somehow or another, he's rolled over this corner. He's caught his second wind. And maybe it is. Back in the 80s, the Hulkster is hawking out. You know, pumping his fists this away and stomping around like he's got a lamp in his giddy up or something, you know. Or maybe it was seeing a beating his chest and screaming like a Comanche Indian. And business was about to pick up. You know what happened? The one you thought was dead and buried is now springing up. They are blowing past. And they are sprouting up. He said that's what happens to those that wait on the Lord. They renew their strength. They're springing up. They're springing up. Some of you, the devil's over in your corner and he's screaming, throw in the towel. The devil's over in your corner. He's screaming, give up. Help out. Give up. You can't make it. But I want to say to you, friend, wait upon the Lord. And you'll feel that that springing up of the old world. You'll feel that my friend, help of the Lord. That breath from another world. You can make it. We're not going to lose. It's a fixed fight. We're going to win this thing. Just stay faithful. Stay in the fight. And if my friend, give God your very best. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Makes me happy in the Lord. Amen. Makes me want to walk slowly, strutting around in harm. Woo! And those of you that know. Amen. Power. There is power, and then there is patience. And finally, I want to finish with, there is a process. Verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Yeah.
The verse teaches us that something will happen when the waiting pays off. Patience will bring power to the process. We could say that this verse teaches us that there is grace for every gear of life. All of life is not spent like a speed demon. All of life is not spent flying in the air like an eagle. Much of it's spent in the dirt.
You're right, Rob.
Much of it's spent walking and sometimes crawling.
Yeah.
But there's grace for every gear of life.
Yes, that's good.
The process. There's three stages or three gears that he tells us about in this portion of Scripture. There is soaring, sprinting, and strolling. Soaring, sprinting, and strolling. They are those that are flying with the eagles. They are running with the race. And then they are walking with the Lord. Soaring, sprinting, and strolling. The words mount up. Said they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. The words mount up means to ascend. When an eagle flaps his wings and heads off into the sky, it's a wonderful thing to behold. This great bird
held to the ground by the same gravity that binds us to the earth, stretches out His wings, and with one great flap of His wings, He's instantly airborne. It rises quickly, breaking the grip of gravity, rising higher until it soars above this world with its danger, strife, and problems. And those who learn to wait upon the Lord have this same kind of liberty in them. He helps us break free from the things that bind us. He lifts us up above the shadows and plants our feet on higher ground. Oh, He lifts us up above problems, sins, valleys, emotions. He allows us to soar above the difficulties of life. Brother, when the storm comes, the eagle does not have to ground his flight. But when the storm blows, he lifts himself up through the wings. And my friend rises toward the sky. And my friend rises above the storms. And that's what God makes possible for us. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You can rise above the dirty now and the dirtiness and the filth of this old world. You can live on a higher plane. You can live on a higher place with the Lord Jesus in your life. High living. Mountaintop living. He'll lift you up. Others will let you down, but Jesus will lift you up. Soaring. The second gear that He gives us is sprinting. Sprinting. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. The word run means to dart or to move swiftly. It is an aggressive run or a sprint. We look to Jesus in prayer, in His Word, in waiting before Him for guidance and help. He will enable us to run our race without growing weary, to sprint, to give it all. I'm not going to race with all we have. We're not just putting one foot in front of the other in this case, but we're moving quickly and swiftly, darting about. There are days that the Lord will renew your strength, let you fly with eagles, or let you run with the athletes of the world. But there's a third gear that He tells us about. To run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Now, there's a process that I see happening here. In the beginning, He says we're flying, and then we're running, and now we're walking. I don't know if you understand that is the cycle of life. Yes. Once you get off the ground to start with, now you start off in a pretty weak state. But once you get into the place where you're capable or able of it, you can fly with eagles. There'll come a day when maybe you can't fly no more, but you can still run. There'll come a day when you can't run no more, and it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other. And in spiritual life, it's the same way. I remember when the Lord first saved my soul, and I didn't know how to do nothing. But brother, I had the energy to do anything. And I mean, I was willing to try anything. The preacher would talk about folks used to run the pews or jump the benches or whatever, and I asked the Lord, please help me to do that. I mean, I wanted to. Amen. I mean, he'd talk about the old timer shouting, and I'd ask the Lord, let me do it. And he'd talk about so-and-so preaching a message. I'd say, Lord, give that to me. Let me preach it. I mean, I was chomping at the bit to do anything God would let me do. Oh, hear me, friend. I know we can get ahead of the Lord, and we can, my friend, we can go off on our own, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the best intentions, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to give God my all. I mean, trying to give Him everything I had. And I really wanted to fly with eagles. But there comes a time when you just realize you can't maybe do what you'd like to do or want to do. Oh, but then still maybe you feel like in that stage of life, I can't do what I once did, but I can still do a whole lot, and I'm still running the race, and I'm giving it all I got. But there are days in your spiritual walk where you are weary, where you are nearly faint, where you are beaten down with the stresses of the world, and of life, and of finances, and of health, and of family weighs heavy on you. And that, my friend, it's all you can stand just to put spiritually, just put one foot in front of the other. But can I tell you, there is not a stage that says you just sit down and quit. There is not a stage given where it says we just stop. He said when you get to where you can't hardly walk, remember the Lord will give you strength to make one more step, to keep going on, to keep walking on. Maybe you are at nearly the end. Can I encourage you to press on? Can I encourage you to keep going on? Maybe you can't fly. Maybe you can't run. But praise God, step on. Keep walking on. Keep going on. If you're on your knees, crawl another step. But keep going. And don't give up. Amen. Finish well in this thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of my great heroes in the Christian walk was Brother Sammy Allen. I've had a number of them, but one of them was Brother Sammy Allen. All of you know, knew Brother Sammy, most of you did, know that for years he drug a bad leg around. And he'd try not to let on any. But boy, when he got on up the last 10 years or so of his life, he never really took a step with a bad leg. He'd just take a good step with a good one and drag that oven along. And it was like that everywhere he went, scraping the floor with that old bad leg. He'd crawl up the steps that way. He would preach and preach and preach until folks would wish he would stop preaching. And I'm telling you, they thought he never would be able to get done preaching. And here folks thought he didn't have strength. I've seen people try to help him. And he didn't need no help. I mean, they'd try to help him and he'd just, and whenever them folks that tried to help him was sitting down and getting some rest, Brother Sam would still be dragging that old bad leg along. I mean, he was as well disciplined as anybody I've ever known in my life, and determined and strong. And when he couldn't run, he was still walking. Amen. And I remember that last camp meeting he and I were in together. I was having a little glory time and shouting about heaven. And Brother Ballou looked over at Brother Sammy Allen and he said, "Pastor, it won't be long. You're going to have two good legs." Amen. That was the last time we got to be in camp meeting together. He went home to be with the Lord the next summer. My friend, but listen to me. He finished the race. If it took it on one leg, he finished the race well. Oh, I've seen my granddaddy come in the church house many and many a time. When he had gone from one cane to two canes and was walking basically on his hands, but coming on in anyway. May God help us to fight as long as we can. Put one foot in front of the other and give God our all. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And I want to tell you something. You don't have to be old to get to the strolling stage instead of the flying, soaring stage. Matter of fact, your life will have some days that this ought to help some of you that's my age, somewhere in the murky middle. Amen. You're not young anymore. You're not old yet. You're just somewhere in the murky middle. And not all you young people don't come to me after church to tell me how old I am, especially my own girls. Don't y'all do that. Some of us are sort of stuck in the murky middle. We're not too old yet, but we're not young anymore. This ought to help you. Life in living for the Lord is not flying and sprinting and then stepping or strolling. My friend, and that alone, it is an up and a down and an up and a down and an up and a down. What I'm saying to you is, spiritually, just because today you are strolling or stepping doesn't mean you're never going to soar again. And my friend, if you are in the moping place down in the valley, and some of you know what I'm talking about, I ain't got time to preach it, but if you're moping in the valley, and my friend, you may very well fly again. Don't give up. Exercise your flying wings. I mean, friend, stay in practice just in case the Lord wants you to soar one more time. Hallelujah, friend. We're going to finish this race and finish well. Finish well. Hallelujah. Strolling.
Walk and not faint. This is the year that describes most of life. Not every day is filled with excitement and adventure. Most of our lives, most of the time of our lives are spent in the ordinary experiences walking with the Lord. You learn in the time of flying high or running fast with blessings all around, exciting days. My friend, is what they are, but they're not common days. What we really need to learn is patiently walking with the Lord. That's how Adam spent his time in the garden before sin. And when we walk with God in these days, it shows God's given us power over sin and what it brings.
Amen.
Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
That's it.
Walk patiently, consistently, daily with the Lord in patience, believing and expecting Him to see you through until the end. There is a grace to get up in the morning.
Yes, sir.
There is a grace to bow your head in prayer.
Yes, sir.
There is a grace to be thankful when you think the world's falling apart. There is a grace to open the Bible and read. There is a grace to honor the Lord throughout your daily walk. There is a grace to do it day after day after day. Are you walking in patience with the Lord? I want to tell you this morning, if you are, you might be in the final stage of the stroll. You may be taking your last steps in this walk. But if you're taking your last steps in this walk, in a moment's time, you'll soon take a flight without an airplane. Reservations on golden wings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this bird ain't grounded. Hallelujah. 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 She's soon going to take flight. Matter of fact, the heights to which she has flown is nothing compared to where we're going. Amen. Oh, bless His name. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. I'm finished preaching. Please come with a song. Do you earnestly anticipate and patiently expect Him to do what is needed in your life? Are you consistently, even as slowly, moving toward the fullness of the person God has intended for you to be? Your progress may be slow, but if you're walking with Jesus, it's sure.
Right.
And you can make it.
Right.
Remember the night Brother Eddie preached down in Carrollton, a little Congregational Holiness Church down there. And they had a good song service, had a good meeting all the way around. He preached a great message that night. But what helped me that evening, long after I'd forgotten what he preached, and I don't remember what he preached, I just remember he did a good job preaching. But that night, there's something that stuck with me. Brother Bob knows what I'm talking about, because he had taught some of these kids in school. Brother Bob taught special ed. These children were, some of his students that had been worse off than others. I mean, had been in pretty bad shape. One was singing, another one, his father was there, and he's not in really good shape either. Mine's just not all there. Another one was playing the drums. And the one thing you have to know if you're going to play the drums is rhythm. You don't have to know an A from a G, from an E, from a B, from a Z, or a W. And those don't even exist. You don't have to even know that to play the drums, but you got to have rhythm. And the one thing he didn't have was rhythm. He whooped them drums all night like they'd done bad things to him. And all out of rhythm. Every once in a while the pastor would look over and shake his head and calm it down just a little bit. And he's out of rhythm, but he wasn't whooping him as hard. Then the pastor got up and asked if anybody had a testimony. He said, I do. And he stood up and testified to him. He says, anybody got a song? He stood up and said, I do. He said, I want to sing a song. He got up to sing. Brother Eddie was in a hard time, going through some deep valleys. That fella got up and he said, I can't remember the rhythm, and I can't remember the tune, and I can't remember how it goes, but I know the words. They started doing this way, bouncing up and down. I can't even bounce up and down out of rhythm, but he would. He'd just bounce here just a second, and bounce there just a second, and I mean, it was out of rhythm. Everything he was doing was out of rhythm. And he started singing something I had never heard before.
Don't remember what all the verses said, but when it got to the chorus, all it said over and over again was, I can make it. I'm going to make it. I can make it with the Lord. I can make it. I punched Brother Eddie and I said, he doesn't have the same gifts you have. Doesn't have the same intellect. Does not have the same background. Doesn't have the same abilities. But he's got the same Lord. And if he can make it, you can make it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're faint, if you're weary, if you're tired, you're just like everybody else gets. But there's a Lord of the weary that if you'll be patient and wait upon the Lord, you can make it. Hallelujah. You can walk with Him. And one day we're going to take the last step. And my foot's going to land on heaven's bright shore. Hallelujah. The pearly gates are going to click behind our heels, and everything that's nasty and dirty and sinful and ungodly is going to be locked outside. And everything that's glorious is going to be there with us. And we'll say it's been worth every mile, it's been worth every trial, it's been worth every valley that we've fought, our face in every battle that we've fought. And we'll be glad we live for Jesus on that day. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to see this thing through, and I want to finish it well. Everybody stand, please. If this morning you need strength, you need help, you need stability, He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's the Lord of the weary. Sing for us when you can, please.
I was facing decision.
He's the Lord of the weary. Lord, help me to finish this thing well. To give all that I've got. And I know the Lord will not withhold any good thing from me. Hallelujah.
Soon I'd be receiving what He promised.
Thank God. You need to pray. These altars are open. Has the Lord touched your heart? You need to seek His face. Some of you might think it's a little bit silly, but just think on. When I was studying this message, I thought about the old chicken. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but chickens can fly. They don't fly far, but they can fly. We used to have, we'd have 15, 20,000 in the house, poultry houses. Jokers get on up about 6, 8, 10 weeks old. I think we kept them for quite a while, for 12 weeks, then for 10 weeks, then for 8 weeks. And, you know, juice up their food a little more, try to grow them a little faster. A little smaller bird, just go ahead and harvest one more time a year. You know, if you get them at 8 weeks, you can get a whole another cycle, even if it's a smaller bird. Those jokers come in there so small, and they seem so sweet. By the time they left, they weren't sweet no more. I mean, and they'd be piled on top of one another, 15,000 full-grown chickens in the house, and they didn't smell good, and they didn't act good, and they were misbehaving. And if you didn't believe they could fly, you watch them and see. They wouldn't fly far, but they could fly. I'm going to tell you, you may not think a whole lot of yourself, and you may not, maybe not think a whole lot of yourself in yourself. I can't fly far, but I can fly once in a while. Amen. I may not fly as high as an eagle, but praise God, once in a while God will give me a little bit of want to, and I can flap my wings and get off the ground for a little ways, if nothing else, just remind myself I'm still a bird. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever quit flapping your wings. Don't ever quit trying. Don't ever quit stepping. Amen.
Yes, sir.
All you're doing is running about the barnyard. Do something. Hallelujah. I want to do what I can for the Lord while I can, so that when I cannot, I will not regret that I did not when I could have. Amen. I don't want to get to the end of this thing and realize the reason why that I quit is because I quit trying. I want to die with my boots on. Hallelujah. If you obeyed the Lord, done what the Holy Spirit would have you to do, if you've been sensitive to Him in this meeting this morning,